Hello and welcome back to FPL Seb. There hasn't been a podcast since before the season started, but now there is one again. So I'm going to start off with how the season has gone so far, as there hasn't been a podcast yet. So let's just start from the beginning in game week one, where the highest scoring player was Mohamed Salah with 14 points, which isn't a huge score, but still good. A very good score, and definitely need to take it in because I think the majority of teams started with Haaland instead of Salah. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, he started off stronger than Haaland because Haaland only got 9 points, which is still good, but not as good as Salah in game week one. The other players that did well that was noticeable was Saka. Havertz, Welbeck, because he has carried on doing well throughout the season. Vissa got 11, but is now injured at the moment and is expected back late November, so he's not an option. So yeah, game week one, those were the big scorers. For my team in game week one, I had not the best start. 61 points, ranked 3,358,109. So I had Haaland instead of oh no, it was seven Haaland, got Haaland instead of Salah, Isak captain instead of Haaland, which didn't work out. Saka was good though with 12. That was the best part, along with Jota getting 8, Saliba getting a clean sheet. I think Burn got a clean sheet as well. Yep. Guardiola, I think, got a clean sheet. Yep, Guardiola got a clean sheet. So, pretty good, but I think it was quite a high scoring game week one, so it only put me in the top 4 million. So it was probably about a mid start. And then in game week two, it got a bit quite a lot worse for me because of mainly Chelsea going, scoring a lot of goals. Madueke's hat trick. Palmer got 17 points with goals and 3 assists. Although they did concede 2 goals, so that didn't help their defence. But also Nicholas Jackson did very well. And as of game week 5 at the moment, Palmer is owned. Effective ownership is 46%. Which basically means that effective ownership basically means it's not like that, it's their ownership plus it's like a 200% ownership if you captained him, if that makes sense. So that's not a great that's not great. So that's at the moment, and I think it might have been a tiny bit higher that game week as well. So that's probably why I dropped so low. No one really had Madueke, but Nicholas Jackson was sort of owned, but very low, like 5%. So mainly Palmer in game week two, but that put me at a rank in the 4 millions, 4,805,468 precisely. Yeah, I did captain Haaland though, which if I didn't, would have made it way worse because he scored a hat trick, got 17 points. So if I hadn't, I would have been a lot further back, like in the 7 millions, which would have been very hard to catch back from. Also had Smith Rowe with 10 points, Jota with 6, Saliba with 6. So yeah, not the best game week. But then it got even worse in game week 3 because I went into the 6 millions. Basically, I didn't captain Haaland this week. He scored another hat trick. I did captain Saka though, but he only got 6 points, 1 assist. So yeah, Haaland was the biggest. Also, Salah went big. Luis Diaz went big again. Don't have any of them. So this might have been my worst game week so far. I think it like brought me 2 million rankings, which is really bad. But I did have Wood and Isak, who both got 9 points as well, but no clean sheets, nothing really in game week 3, which made it really bad and put me in the 6 millions. But then in game week 4, as I'd started so bad, I wildcarded. So how my transfers had gone, my original team was Henderson in goal, Mikalenko, Saliba, Burn, Guardiol. Saka, Jota, Nkunku, Solanke, Isak, captain, Haaland. And on the bench, Flecken, Smith Rowe, Rodgers, and Harwood Bellis. That was my game week one team. Then in game week two, Solanke got injured, so I had to transfer him out. I think I did Wood, who has been absolutely really good for me. He's been one of my best players, definitely, so far. So that might not have been actually that bad for my team, Solanke getting injured, but it was certainly annoying. But it helped getting Wood in, because he's done very well for me. But anyway, that was my transfer then. Then I think I didn't do a transfer. Oh, I can see my transfers here. I can. Yes, I didn't do a transfer in game week three. So I had my transfer rolled, which with the new rules actually lets you roll it through a wild card. So I do have my extra transfer through my wild card in game week five at the moment, which is very nice. Game week five, game week six, etc. And then I did a wild card, which I just completely redid my squad because I was in the 6 millions. Oh, and yeah, by the way, I meant like since like game week two ranks, it's been the game week ranks. So basically that's ranking you how well you did like in the game week. So like a 6 million game week rank, which I had for game week three, meant in that game week, I was like 6 millionth in the world, 6 millionth. So not 6 millionth as the season overall, because, yeah, hard to drop that much. I actually did get confused. So it was going really badly for me. Bad, just bad, bad, bad. My overall rank wasn't good as well. I can't quite see what it is. Oh, here we are. That's game week rank. Oh, yeah, overall rank. So game week two is in the 3 million still, so just went down a bit. But then in game week three, it went, like, right in the 4 millions. So it had all been red arrows until my wild card in game week four, where basically my team, I think my goalkeepers ended up staying the same. So I had Henderson and Flecken. Still had Saliba. And I think I kept Burn maybe as well. I do regret doing that at the moment because he has done nothing. Saliba, Burn, Robertson, Robinson, Smith-Rowe, Luis Diaz, Mo Salah, Havertz, Woods, Haaland, Flecken, Onana, Semenyo, Harwood, Bellis. That was my team for game week four. I had Haaland captain and I had a small green arrow. My game week rank was 4,700,000, so still not great. Not exactly what I wanted off a wild card, but my first green arrow of the season, which was nice. So, Haaland captain with 13 points, so 2 goals again. That helped. Smith Rowe got 7. And I think it was just generally a low scoring game week. Highest scoring player was actually Sanchez, Chelsea's keeper. Who's my brother had, and he's doing very, very well at the moment. He's beating me by quite a lot. Gabriel got 15 with a goal and a clean sheet. De Ligt the same. So I didn't have any of these big players, but other than Gabriel, not many people did, except Watkins, who got his first goals of the season. He got a brace. But other than that, the top scoring players weren't owned by that many people, which also meant the people that had those players went woo in their ranks so much, so high. I'd probably say that was like a really grey arrow week. Yes, it was a green arrow, but it was a grey arrow. But it wasn't until game week five where it started to get a lot better. My game week rank was in the top million. That's this current game week. Not everything went perfectly, but it went a lot better, especially having Luis Diaz. I didn't do any transfers because I won't tell you the plan now because that's for later in the podcast. So keep listening. Luis Diaz, 16 points, 2 goals, 71 minutes, clean sheet point, very, very nice. especially as his EO was around me, quite a low rank at that point, was only about 27%. So that was really good. Salah captain over Haaland wasn't the best decision, although if people had Salah instead of Haaland, I think almost everyone captained him. So that was annoying because Haaland got 9 instead of Salah 6. But I mean, at least Salah still got a return. At least it wasn't completely fail for Salah. So that was annoying but not terrible. But Luis Diaz, 12 points, was key. Henderson got 9 as well, my keeper. Robertson got a clean sheet. Wood got 8 points. And just generally, as it wasn't a really high scoring game week at all, it helped me a lot, and it put me in the top 3 million. That's like a whole million gain in a game week, which was so nice. Nicholas Jackson though, 16 points. I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on him because that's another big return from him. Game week 5, yeah. Trent got 11, Calafuri got 9, Rogers 10, so people who had actually been patient with him, unlike me, from the start of the season, actually got paid off. I, in my wildcard, went for Onana instead, who was the same price and had started off the season way better, playing for Aston Villa as well. But I started Onana, and I would have much rather had Rodgers this week. But still, I'm not going to complain because it's been a very good game week. Still, Madison, 12. Very, very important for later on. Luis Diaz, 16. Nicholas Jackson, 16. But then the highest scoring goalkeeper again was Robert Sanchez. That's a 15-pointer, then a 10-pointer for a goalkeeper. Which, like, that's the sort of numbers that, like, Haaland puts up sometimes. For a 4.5 million goalkeeper. Well, he's had a price rise to 4.6 now. But still, that is very good. So, start of the season went really, really bad for me. Game weeks 1, 2, 3, 4, mid, 5 now. It's going a lot better, and I'm hoping these green arrows can continue, and I keep gaining rank. Right, now I'm going to talk about a wildcard draft, because I'm pretty sure a lot of managers, apart from me because I already have, but I mean, I probably don't regret it because my team was really bad. But a lot of managers are wildcarding this week. So I am going to talk through a wildcard draft that I have made, which isn't going to be my team. I mean, I'd rather it to be, but not massively, because my team's all right, similar enough. But anyway, in goal, I kind of had to be Robert Sanchez with a 15-pointer, then a 10-pointer in a row. Pretty good fixtures as well. Not amazing fixtures, though. But good enough. Especially the next few. So Chelsea have Brighton and Forest. Then it's Liverpool. Then it's Newcastle. Then United. So mid fixtures. Mid fixtures for Chelsea. But the amount of points he's putting up at the moment, just from clean sheets and saves and bonus. The saves and the bonus, so you can only get 4 points from a clean sheet anyway. I know that helps with the bonus, but still, he can probably still get two or three points from saves and one bonus without a clean sheet. So that's still very, very good from a keeper at the moment. So he is absolutely going in the draft. Other goalkeeper, 4.5 million, sells Nottingham Forest. He has started off pretty good. Definitely the second best 4.5 behind Sanchez. Last game week, he only had 1 point from goals conceded against Brighton. But he had 9 points the game before against Liverpool. Remember when the Liverpool lost. Clean sheet, saves and bonus. So 9 points, good there. 2 points against Wolves, 6 against Southampton, 3 against Bournemouth. So had a pretty good season so far. So he can definitely get into the wildcard draft. Especially as his fixtures are, they're not great, but they're similar to Chelsea, pretty good. Fulham, and then they're playing Chelsea. Crystal Palace, Leicester, West Ham. So, similar to Chelsea, mid set of fixtures. And then in the defence, starting off, it's Gabriel instead of Saliba, because he's just been better. He's scoring goals, unlike Saliba. He is, I think that's 2 goals in 2 games for Gabriel. So he had 15 points against Tottenham, 3 bonus, clean sheet, goal. And then 7 points against Man City, goal, yeah, goal for a defender, plus minutes, minus 2 for conceding. But then he's been getting the same amount of minutes, 90 every game, like every game 90. I think they've only not had a clean sheet. No, they've had 3 clean sheets out of 5, but he's been scoring goals. And he's had a price rise, so he's 0.1 more than Saliba now. But I still think that's worth it. Next, I still think Robinson. Let's talk about Arsenal's fixtures first instead. Good. Leicester, Southampton, Bournemouth, Liverpool, Newcastle. So 3, really good. 2, middy. Well, Liverpool's bad. Newcastle's mid at the moment. They're not playing great, but they're still okay. Okay, but next, Robinson still gets a place in my team if I was wildcarding. Mainly because I think he's the best 4.5 million defender. He's getting assists occasionally still. I mean, I only brought him in for my wildcard, so he's done nothing for me yet. But same as Gabriel, 90 every game. Fixtures is probably the only thing that will put me off him, though. Because it's Forest, but then City, but then it's Villa, Everton, Brentford. So, I mean, not terrible fixtures, but not what I would, like, choose for fixtures if, I could choose the teams I was playing against. That, yeah, if that makes sense. So, yeah, he's been doing all right. I don't think he's had a clean sheet so far this season. But still getting good numbers without a clean sheet, that's something good. So he still gets into the team. Next, I found a way to get Trent in. I felt I had to because he has been doing so well. Second best defender behind Gabriel. And it was really hard to not put him in. He got 11 this game that's just gone. So very good there. Liverpool have only not kept clean sheet 1 game this season. So we didn't have a Liverpool defender. He gets so many attacking returns as well. I mean, he's only had 1 this season so far. But if you look at his history through like his time in the Premier League, he gets attacking returns very consistently. So for my current team, I would definitely pay the extra million or 1.1 million now to get him in. But because of that, we have had to make sacrifices, including 2 4 million defenders. Greaves and Harwood Bellis. The best 4 million defenders, in my opinion. 90-minuters. Well, Harwood Bellis gets 90, 75, 50. 55, but then 9 against United, but then 90 this most recent game week. So unless there's another 4 million defender that I haven't thought of, instead of Harwood Bellis, him, Greaves, 11 points so far this season. He is 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90. Nothing spectacular. Just a 4 million defender that plays 90. And will get 4 points if the team keeps a clean sheet, although he plays for Ipswich. So, don't know how often that will happen, but it should be okay, because he should be sitting on your bench unless there's a problem. Right, on to the midfield then. Starts off with Smith Rowe. 5.6 now. Price rises. Very good. Fixtures, pretty good. Forest, City, Villa, Everton, Brentford, Palace, same fixtures as Robinson, who I've just instead. So yeah, he's been good. Yep, good. I'm pretty sure if I do this thingy. Why can't I do this thingy? Yep, he should be. Yep, highest scoring midfielder by quite a lot, under 6 million. Yep, 30 points compared to the next best, McNeil at Everton, who I wouldn't recommend, with 24. Oh, yeah, wouldn't recommend, but fixtures are very... Wow, that's green, grey, green, 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 grey, green fixtures for Everton. I mean, maybe if it's as a differential. Maybe I'll change my differential to him. Maybe. Well, you'll find out later in the episode. But anyway, Smith Rowe I still think is better. Morgan Rogers, who has had a 0.2 price rise now. He's better than Onana, who I have. I don't really know why I picked Onana over him in my wild card, but I did. Regretting it now, but not massively. So yeah, Rodgers, pretty good. Should continue to be pretty good, playing 90 minutes, being pretty good. I think that he will. Yeah. So if we look at his stats, his actual stats, if I can find them. There we go. He has had 18 points a season. He is 90-90-90-90-90 so far, like a lot of the players in this draft, and 2-2-2-2-10. So, from the two assists he's had in the most recent game against Wolves. So, yes, he goes in, especially as he is 5.2 million. Right, next up, it is Brian Mbeumo. He is the main man at Brentford. He is 7.2 million. And he is a good player. He has done very well this season. He has done 9 points against Crystal Palace, 1 point against Liverpool. They have not conceded. They've only conceded in one match this season. So, yep, that he wouldn't have scored in that. 14 points against Southampton, 2 points against City. 8 points against Spurs. Very, very good option. He is only owned by 13.8% as well. So, sort of, not really, but sort of a differential. Not really, though. But anyway, 7.2 million. He has had price rises, so get him probably a bit earlier, unless you really don't like doing that and risking injury and waste of transfers. But I think he might go up again. So, if you're on a tight budget, try to get him earlier. Because he is definitely a key player to have in. This is also like recommendations for just transfers this week, I might say as well. Luis Diaz next. 5 million more than Mbeumo. Highest scoring player so far this season. Highest scoring player so far this season. Oh, except for Haaland. I didn't see that. Obviously, Haaland's going to ruin it. But yeah, 63 points for Haaland and 51 points for Luis Diaz. Highest scoring player this season, except for Haaland. Which is still pretty good, because Haaland is 15.3 million. He is 7.9 million, which makes him a better value for money. And obviously a starter of the season, incredibly well at playing for Liverpool, who have been playing incredibly well. But let's just move on to the next player. Now, for the premium midfielder here, I have gone for a bit of a differential. Don't feel you have to. You can change this up to how you'd like it. You don't have to just copy this. Please don't as well. It makes it boring, the game, just in general. But I've gone for Phil Foden, because he's just come back from injury and is very good. So, he has managed to get into my team. This wildcard team, because he has come off the bench for against Sunil, played 20 minutes, got a point, didn't get any attacking returns, but he was the player of the season last year. And I think he's gone down in price, 0.2 million, because of his injury. So he's only 9.3 million, which gives you more money to upgrade other players that you might want to upgrade. So I think he could be a very good differential if you're on a wild card. Right, then the strikers, let's just start to get out of the way. Haaland's in the team. Yay! Yay! You may have noticed that Salah was not in, though. Because I will talk about it more in the podcast, actually. So, I might leave that for later. So, yeah. Salah's not in the team. I'll talk about it later. But Nicholas Jackson is as well. So, start off him. But Haaland is. Yay! So, Nicholas Jackson started the season very well. He has got 35 points so far this season, which I'm pretty sure should be the second most to afford behind Haaland, who is in the team. So Nicholas Jackson, he has scored 2 points, 10 points, 6 points, so 1 point, 16 points. And he's played City 2 points, Wolves 10 points, Crystal Palace 6 points, Bournemouth 1, West Ham 16. Which is good stats. His fixtures, so Chelsea's fixtures, are, I read them earlier for Sanchez, but they are Brighton, Forest, then Liverpool, Newcastle, Man United. So, okay fixtures. But other than Liverpool, the defences of those teams aren't that good at all. So I think Nicholas Jackson can get quite a lot of points in the next few games. So if you are wildcarding this week, I definitely recommend Nicholas Jackson. Right, and now Haaland, he is in the team. You should get him because he has scored over 50 points already, 60 points already this season, has already scored 10 goals. And it doesn't seem to matter what team he's playing against, he will score. As we saw with this week against Arsenal. So, yeah, have him and probably captain him most weeks. Then finally, it is Chris Wood, who I have had in my team and I definitely recommend. Partly because he's a massive differential, only owned by 8% of teams. Well, not massive, but still a differential, only owned by 8% of teams. So, gains you rank. Plus, he has scored the fourth amount of points of forwards this season behind Welbeck, who I think is two rotation risk with like João Pedro to pick, and fixtures are Chelsea, Spurs, Newcastle, Wolves, Liverpool, Man City. So stay away from Brighton with fixtures, I'd say, if you're wildcarding. But then Chris Wood, he has good fixtures. He has Fulham, Chelsea, Palace, Leicester, West Ham, Newcastle up to 11, which is very nice. His points for the season so far have been 9 points, 1 point, 9 points, 2 points, 8 points. So also very good points-wise. So I think you should pick him in your wild card. And that is the end of the wild card draft. So now we can move on to talk about Mohamed Salah. Should you keep him? Should you buy him? Or should you sell him if you have him? So, let's go into his stats so far for the season. He is the second highest scoring midfielder, third highest scoring player in the game, but he is now 12.8 million. His average points per match is 9.8 this season. He is owned by 46% of people, but his effective ownership is 89% for the just game week that's just gone. He started off the season 14-10-17, but his last two games have only been 2-6. So, is he a buy because of how good he's been and how good he can be? Is he just keep if you don't buy, don't sell? Because, he's been all good enough, but not so good. Or is he sell because he's too expensive to just be getting 6-2? So, I personally, straight up, think he's a keep. But, sell if you have transfers and you need the money. So let's look at his fixtures as well. So Liverpool's fixtures, it's Wolves, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, Arsenal and Brighton. So other than the Arsenal, they are very good fixtures. So the fixtures are definitely going to be good for that. The fixtures are good for him. But then he's played good teams. He's played Bournemouth and Forest recently, only getting 2 and 6. And Liverpool scored, I think, 3 goals against Bournemouth. So it's not like their team wasn't scoring. But then Forest, they did just lose by 1 goal. But still, he is 12.8 million now. So why I think he's a keep is because his price rises have probably made him too expensive to justify buying that price now, partially. And also, it does look like he's having a small dip in form. And also, if you just went for the second most expensive midfielder in Cole Palmer, he's also started the season very well. He's had 2, 17, 6, 3, 8. So not quite as good as Salah, but not quite as expensive. So I don't think he's an absolute buy, definitely. But then also, because he's 12.7 and you could get to that money saved in getting Palmer instead, that could allow you to have Haaland, who there isn't like a second best striker. Because, like, I mean, Ollie Watkins is kind of that, but he's 9 million, which puts him like kind of out of the premium bracket. And in the first 3 games, he scored nothing. Then also, it looks like he's going up as well, because he scored 2 and now 1. So maybe selling Salah could also afford you to get him. Because I definitely don't think that Salah is an absolute essential. But I think he could definitely benefit you because of the amount of points he's got and his history of being reliable. He has been like highest or second highest scoring player in FPL for the last like 5 seasons in a row, which is incredible. Maybe not always first or second, but always in the top area. So even if he's going through a slower phase, it's likely that he will start playing a lot better again and scoring a lot more goals before too long, because otherwise how does he always get so high? And it's always been like this with Salah as well. There's always been phases where he's like, he's off, but then he always ends the season very high. So I think he's a keep, possible buy, possible sell, depending on your team. Right, so after that, it is Madison. So he's just had a very good game. He's had an all right start to the season, but he's just had a good game. He's playing every game for Spurs, but not a 90-minute player. So his points have been 5, 6, 1, 2, 12. So that puts him so far on the season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th highest scoring midfielder, which is pretty good. Bearing in mind that four of them are above 10 million. So I guess it shows the premiums are doing what they were supposed to this season. But Madison, he is 7.5 million, which is on the cheaper side of things. Not as cheap as like Mbeumo, who you should definitely get at the moment, but on the cheaper side. So, yeah, not super cheap, not like budget, bit more expensive than mid, I'd say. But he also can be very good. We have seen what he can do in the past as well. And he had a good season last year with Spurs. It's not like a first-time season where we don't know. Fixtures are very, very good as well. Man United, Brighton, West Ham, Palace, Villa, Ipswich, up to game week 11. Those are very good fixtures. So I definitely think Madison is an option. And I think if you're wildcarding this week, I have given a draft already, but I think Madison is also a very good option that you could pick. So, like, you could pick Madison. Yeah, I don't know who you'd take out, Mbeumo or Luis Diaz, someone like that, even though they're probably, I'd recommend them both higher. But then, could you find money elsewhere? Could you not get a premium midfield and not have Foden instead of, and get Madison and upgrade to Watkins up front? You could do something like that very easily if you're wildcarding this week because you have unlimited transfers. So, I think Madison should be watch, but don't instantly buy. I think, unless you're wildcarding this week, wait until at least game week 7 to see if he can keep it going, and then make a decision. If you're wildcarding, though, it's a bit different because you kind of would want to get him in on your wildcard if you're planning to get him in. Fixtures have turned very good, and I'd say if you can fit him in without making big sacrifices, then he is a good option, but don't try and force him in. Don't, like, make some of your team worse to get him in. I don't think he's that good quite yet, but I think you can definitely try and get him in if it works. Right, that's Madison, and now it's differential. For my differential this week, it could go very wrong and be not a very good pick, but it could also go the other way and he could score a lot of points this week. I've mentioned him already in this podcast, been injured for most of the season so far, and has only come off the bench for 20 minutes so far, so he definitely isn't guaranteed like minutes or anything. So if he doesn't start, which is still very unlikely, it could go very wrong, this differential pick. But Newcastle also haven't been playing that well. If you haven't guessed it already, it's Phil Foden, because his price has also gone down and he's only selected by 5.4% of teams, which is a very low amount for how good he is. But as I said, this could either go very wrong or very well. Same time, it could just be mid. It's like he plays and doesn't do anything. But I think it's going to go very well or very bad. So, with this differential, I'm not saying this is like get him in for this week only and try and get some points. This is like a really risky one if you have started the season really badly and you've already used your wild card or something. I think if that's the case, this could pay off, but at the same time, it could really make it worse. But you can't really get too much worse if you're so far down. So I guess, yeah, this could be quite good. But anyway, yeah, player of the season last season. Very good player. He's been injured. Price drops. Newcastle's not been playing well, although it is away. So I think this is right on the edge of being good or bad. Because last season he scored 19 goals and got 8 assists. So he can do very good. But, yeah, it's just whether he plays, I think. So, that's the differential. And now I'm going to go on to my transfer plans, etc. So, I'm planning to roll my transfer. I'm trying to build up transfers so that I can, do a mini wild card, in a few weeks. Because I currently am on 3 free transfers. So if I build up to 5, I could even take a -4, and that's 6 transfers. That's almost wildcard amount. So I could change my team up to fix things, etc. So that's my plans. So then in my actual team for next week, captain, I think it's going to be Haaland because I captained Salah last week and Haaland just did so much better. So I think it's going to have to be Haaland, my captain. So then Salah's obviously going to be my vice captain. And then first sub for me is going to be Burn. So I'm going to be starting Henderson, Saliba, Robertson, Robinson, Smith-Rowe, Luis Diaz, Mo Salah, Onana, he's playing Ipswich, Haaland captain, Havertz, Wood. Most hopeful about this week is going to has to be Havertz because he's playing Leicester at home, which I hope he can do very well in. Because Leicester, I think they've been conceding a lot of goals, But anyway, Havertz might be a player to go out when I do my mini wild card. So, since I've got him in, he's just blanked both games. But then before I had him, he's done a lot well. So I'm going to give him two more game weeks, see what he does, and then decide keep or sell. Does that make sense? So then bench is Flecken. He has just not been as good a keeper for me. Then Henderson. Semenyo, Burn, as I said, he's playing Man City. And Howard Bellis. I'm going to put Semenyo first up, actually, instead of Burn, because Burn's playing Man City at home and Semenyo's playing Southampton at home. And Semenyo's just been playing better so far this season. Like, a lot better. Yeah, it seems like all the players I brought in on my wildcard are, like, really good first three game weeks, but then the last two, they haven't done as good, which is obviously annoying. So, I hope that they can start scoring again. Yeah, it's like Havertz, Robinson, Semenyo, Onana. Yeah, they're all examples of that. So, yeah, that's annoying, but I hope that can change. So, I think that can probably end this episode. Thanks for listening. And I haven't checked, but I'm pretty sure and still no one has joined the FPL Seb Mini League. Nope, still no one. So, I'm going to remind you of the code so you can join. It will also be in the description of this. It is HL8WDGW, sorry, HL8WGW. Please enter that code so that you can join the league, because currently I'm the only one, which, as the same as last season, means I will automatically win it, which isn't very fun. So make sure you join, and thank you for listening.